Okay, we appreciate seeing everyone who is here tonight. We finished the book of Ruth, and we're moving on to another topic. And to give you an idea what my topic is, or my what I have before me, you will find it in 1 Chronicles, in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles and chapter 4. You have 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings, and then comes 1 Chronicles in chapter 4. One man has said, it's the part of the Bible where your pages are still stuck together, because not very many people read in Chronicles. Well, that's okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. My exercise for the will of the Lord and a few nights that are before us on Tuesday nights is to speak on honorable people. People that the Bible says about them that they are honorable. And we're starting with this man, Jabez, because it looks like, in a sense, that has the crown, you might say. He's a top of the list, and it because it says he's more honorable. Not just honorable, but more honorable. Now, before we get into that subject, just a quick look at Chronicles, just as a book that, like I was indicating, that it's a book that we don't read generally every day. I can understand why. I don't either. But it is an interesting book when you look at it from different angles. And just turn to chapter 1, and I want to just show you a few quick little thoughts about the book itself. Chapter 1, and you'll notice the very first word, Adam. So we begin at the at creation, right? Or at the beginning of it anyway, the first man ever to live on this earth. Now go to 2 Chronicles, and I think it's chapter 32 or 36, last chapter of 2 Chronicles, it's 36. In 2 Chronicles in 36, you have, we won't read it, but just to get you familiarized with it, you have in verse 17, starting from verse 17, what is called the captivity of Judah. Israel was captured, that is, the northern tribes of Israel were spread abroad because of the Assyrian armies, and they were taken captive by the Assyrians. But the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they were taken captive by the Babylonians. And you remember reading about that oftentimes, I'm sure. But you will see that in verse number 19, it says, and they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels therein. And then the people were taken into Babylon, and they were held captive there for 70 years. So you have, if you will, you have from creation to the captivity. So that covers quite a bit of history just in these books of 1 and 2 Chronicles. And so you look at, if you wanted to, you could say it starts in the Garden of Eden, and then it ends with the people going into exile. They're in that awful condition there as they were taken captive into Babylon. Now, going back to the first Chronicles, because actually, in the original, from what I understand, Chronicles wasn't divided into two books. It was just one book. But how they decided to, I don't know. They divided it into two books. So when you take 1 Chronicles and you take, we saw there Adam in chapter 1, but let's go to the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And this is a division that has been made for our convenience or whatever, but there's something in it that I think will be helpful to us. In verse number 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 26. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years, 70 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And then it says he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. So what I'd like to bring to your attention here is in Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1, Adam, we have a rebellion that took place. Sin entered into the world because of Adam's sin. He rebelled against God. But then you come down to the end of 1 Chronicles in chapter 29, we have the king sitting upon his throne. David is on his throne, and then his son Solomon comes, and it says in verse 28, his son, Solomon his son, reigned in his stead. So we go from the ruin of sin or the rebellion of sin to the reign of David's son Solomon. And what we want to consider that is, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ being the greater son of David. So David's son Solomon, and by birth, was reigning on the throne at that time at the end of 1 Chronicles. But David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is going to come, and he's going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. He will sit upon that throne, and he will reign for 1,000 years. And then there will be peace. And what Adam brought into the world because of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ will take out of the world because of his power and his perfection. So those are just two little points to bring us a little bit into focus on what we have in 1 Chronicles and in 2 Chronicles. Now we'll go back to where we read in chapter number 4. The first thing we were noticing is that about Jabez, that he was more honorable. Now, when you think of honorable or honor, if I was to ask you this way, what's more important? To be very gifted, to be able to speak, to be able to sing, to be able to pray, to be able to do the things that we have in the assembly, the different activities in the assembly. Is it more important to be very gifted and skilled in your gift? Or is it more important to be honorable? I think we'd all agree it's more important to be honorable. Because if you are honorable, then your gift is going to have weight. What you say is going to have power, it's going to have an impact. You could be very gifted. I won't say I know, but let me just put it this way. There are people who are very gifted, but they're not honorable. And because of what they say, it doesn't have a lot of impact. It doesn't have carry a lot of weight. Because actually the word honor or honorable means something that is weighty, something that if you know, it's not just this physical body that stands on the scale, as it were, but God puts our spiritual life on his scale, and he wants to know, how much do you weigh? Well, are you a weighty person? Are you a person that is honorable? So when you think of gift is important, but honor is, and being honorable is more important. Think of education. Is education important? That's important. It's good. I wish I had more. But is education more important than honor? Is it more important to be highly educated, be very valedictorian of your class? Is that more important? Or is it more important in your school where you go to be marked out as an honorable person? A person that has weight to them, dignity to them. A person that is trustworthy, honorable. How about wealth? How about money? Is it more important to have money and to be able to accumulate a large amount of wealth? Or is it more important to have honor? We all know that honor is what is priority, has priority over every other thing. No matter what you might endeavor doing on this world or in this world, honor is the most important of all. It's nice when a person is very gifted and they're honorable. It's nice when a person is very well educated and they're honorable. And it's nice if a person is wealthy and they're honorable. And I know of people that are all of those. And it's a wonderful thing that God can use these kind of people and do these kind of things. And so when you think of it, if you had, when your life is over, and they're going to put something on your epitaph, on your gravestone. If they could truly write one word, I think honorable would be the best word that could be put on any epitaph. To serve the Lord, yes, that's good. That's really good. To be an asset to an assembly, that's good. But to be honorable, that's what we're all seeking for. That's what God wants to see in us. Somebody who is, what is an honorable person? Well, I just jotted down a few things. First of all, when we come to the assembly meetings, or when we think of an assembly, I go back to this little illustration I started with. Would you rather have six people in the assembly that are very, very gifted? That'd be nice to have. Or would you rather have six people in the assembly that are very honorable? I think I'd choose the latter. The other would work itself out in time. Because if you're honorable, God will give you the gift that he has given you, and you will have the exercise to work that gift, and you won't be going beyond what your gift is, and you won't be lagging behind in what your gift is, and that's the way you're going to be of a greatest assistance to any assembly that you might be a part of. Okay, what is honorable? I got a list here. Honorable is to be reliable. Reliable. In other words, you're going to say that you tell somebody something and you're going to do it. You're going to be reliable on it. You're going to be faithful. That's another word that I have here for honorable. It's somebody who is faithful. Godliness is honorableness. Is something that is marked by being honorable. It's a person who is able to stand strong with their convictions. In other words, they're not just because the pressures of let's say worldliness coming in and it's pushing hard and there's so many people, they just bend over and they said, well, let's not cause any waves, let's not cause any problems, let's everybody live together happily type thing, and let's just don't worry about what the scriptures might say about that point. Let's not be concerned about some of those, what we might consider, it's just the kids coming in to go to the bathroom. It's just, don't be concerned about what we might classify as not really important issues because, well, we just don't want to cause waves. Well, see, an honorable person is a person that I feel is going to stand strong. And when the pressures of worldliness does come in, they're going to push back against it. Not because it's their agenda. Not because it's them that just want to be kind of a hard-nosed, bull-nosed type individual. But it's because they feel, they understand, they get the word of God, and they're not going to cave under the pressures of the world system and the world's ways that would try to come in to the world. So, honorable, it has to do with your character. It has to do more with character than with capabilities that you or I might have. Now, coming down to this man, Jabez, that we are looking at, who was, it's interesting because it's a biography. And in, it's kind of biographies that I like, okay? Two verses. I forgot to count how many words it is. Not very many words there. And it kind of just, boom, his whole life just opens up for you. And you begin on the biography, and you look at it, and you say, well, most of the time when a biography is given in the Bible, such in the case of Moses and Samuel and those kind of individuals, it starts with, well, like in Mount Moses' day, it was in chapter 1 of Exodus, it was telling you a little bit of the history of what was happening around him. And then in chapter 2, in verse 10, I think it is, Moses is born. It tells us, first of all, the conditions of the nation, and then it tells us about the condition of his parents and the conditions they were living in, and then, wow, he's born. Samuel, the same way. You remember 1 and 2 Samuel. You have 1 Samuel, and you look how the problems were in that home and all that was going on there in his home life, and then all of a sudden, Samuel is born. But here it's quite different, isn't it? Look at the way he starts with. He starts with his family first, his brothers. And he says about Jabez, he was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. So it's just kind of like, wow, you know, it doesn't start with his birth. It starts with his character. It starts with his person. And I believe that is because God is putting us in the sense of what's more important. What is the thing that he's putting out about it? He's saying this, here's a man that has excellency of character. He was raised with brothers. I don't know if he had sisters too, but anyway, he had at least brothers. And it seems as if these brothers were capable people. They were somewhat honorable in their walk with their family and their relationship with God. There was some honorability with them. But here we have Jabez, who soars above them all, and he is more honorable. But when you think of that, you would think of another thing that about Jabez. We see his family, his honor is more than his brethren. But I was thinking of it too. In chapter 9, and you start at verse 1. He starts with the sons of Judah, Perez and Hezron and Camri and Ur, etc. I think if my counting is right, there were 30 names given in the first 8 verses of the chapter. And then you go down and you start at verse 11, and I forget to count how many there is, and then all these lists of names. And so it's names, 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 names. And then all of a sudden you come to Jabez. And it's just the Spirit of God just stops and he says, this man is a special man. And I want to just take a minute and I want to tell you a little bit about who he is, a little bit about his life. But those 30 other men are 30 other people. What about them? I don't want to be critical, but for some reason, their names were mentioned, but nothing about their character, nothing about their lives. It seems as if, well, they were born, they lived, then they died. And that's about all we know about him. That's all that was said about him. Their lives were, they just didn't have an impact. Their lives were just, they just lived. Non-committal. Just born, lived, died. Probably most of us are like that. Born, lived, died. But how wonderful after you follow those 30 names and you come to one person and his name just jumps out at you. Born, yes. Lived, yes. Died, yes. But in the midst of that, there is an impact that could be felt in a very special way. So then I just say this. I guess what I'm trying to say by that is this. Around us is a world. In that world, there are Christians. Their names are listed. If they're Christians, their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then you would ask yourself the question, do they stand out? How many among those people that we know in that large group called Christians, how many of the that we know of that actually stand out and have stood for God, or stand out and have made a mark in this world, in an assembly, or in their homes, or wherever they are? They are, there's just like that. They're the Jabez type character. They're not just lost in the list. They're not just lost in all those that are out there. There's a focus on them. There's an impact that they have made in the world. So that's all I wanted to say about it. But in the surrounding of these names, there is a man, and he stands out for God in a very special way. You know, William Borden was born in 1904. He, as he graduated from high school, he was a millionaire. He was the heir of the Borden Milk Factory. Known when I was a boy growing up, Borden was very, very popular. Not so much now. As a graduation present, his mother and father let him travel the whole world. In those days, you'd travel in a ship most of the time, in whatever way. Anyway, he traveled all the way through the world. He went through the Asian countries. And as he went through those Asian countries and spent some time visiting with those among the people and whatnot, his heart was touched of how many people were, just millions of people, especially in China, and nobody was there to preach the gospel to them that he could see. And his heart just burned inside him. He said, I don't want to just live a nonchalant life. I don't want to just live a life of ease. And yes, I'm a millionaire. And yes, my family, I have an inheritance waiting for me out there. And I could just live for myself. And I could just enjoy life till it's full. But as he made his trip back home, he got his Bible out. As he got down on his knees before the Lord, and he says, Lord, I want to do the service of God, and if it's possible, I want to go back to those countries and bring the gospel to them. And in his Bible, this is a very, very familiar story, or very well-known story, he wrote the words, no reserves. He got home. He told his parents what he was going to do, what his heart's desire was. His parents said, no, don't do that. You got all of this, and we'll give you more. And don't throw your life away and go into a place like that. And he says, no. So he went and he actually went to the Yale. His mom and dad had already purchased, I guess, him for to go to Yale University. He went to Yale University. And as he graduated from Yale, he wrote in his Bible, no retreats, no reserves, no retreats. Finally, everything was in order, and he was able to go to Asia, probably to China. I don't know which exactly where he was going to go, but he got to Egypt. And in Egypt, he got sick, cerebral meningitis, and within a month, he died. And before he died, with a weak hand, he opened his Bible and he wrote these words, no regrets. Honorable. A man who could have lived life, and you would have never known this story. I don't know what his mother and father's names were. I don't know what maybe his brothers and sisters' names were. They've kind of been raced off the scene. But William Borden is a very popular name in the Christian society because he was a man who was going to be honorable. He was a man who said, I want my life to count. I want to go out there and do something real for God. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. And he went on and died, but not a wasted life. A life that is his example has been a tremendous inspiration for many a person. Now, when it comes to being honorable, you see, Jabez himself, his name means sorrowful. That's what his mother called him, didn't she? Because I bear him with sorrow. In other words, there was pain involved. Not just the birth pains. This word has to go beyond far more than just the normal birth pains. It's very likely that this man, this boy, when he was born with some sort of a physical handicap. There was something about him that was in his handicap that was very painful. It limited him in what he could do and the things he could go, where he could go. And so he lived with this handicap. And it'd be easily, he could have said, well, now, you know, I have this handicap and whatever it might have been. And he could have just bowed out and said, well, I can't do anything. My life is ruined because of my infirmity that I have or this constant pain that I have to live with. So I'm just going to let everybody wait on me. I'm going to just sit in bed or sit in a chair or I'm just going to have everybody serve me type attitude. That's could have been his way. And he went through childhood. He went through being a young boy. He went through during the teenage years. He went on into, I don't know how old he was when he actually, when this is written about him, but probably an adult now. He went through all those stages. And in every one of those stages, he met the same He had the same tendencies. He met the same challenges. He met everything that every one of us have met. And he didn't say, well, you know, I got this handicap, plus I have all these things going on inside of my body that I don't understand. I'm a young person. I'm growing up, and everything seems so mixed up and so difficult and whatever. You know, just a whole litany of excuses why he couldn't go on for God. A whole litany of excuses of why he should just sit back and let everybody do everything for him. He could have done it, and everybody probably would have been willing to do it. Because, hey, you got a handicap. When you're handicapped, people help you. But he wasn't going to take that road. He said, I'm not going to let this handicap stop me. I'm going to let this handicap help me. And I don't know what way it helped him, but he didn't let it stop him. He went on, and he kept going on, and he kept going on. It wasn't a case that he just pole vaulted out of being a little kid into being this wonderful adult. He went through all the sessions and the seasons that you and I all have to go through. But every day, he made that day count. Every day he pulled himself out of bed. Every day he mustered the energy. And I'm sure it took more for him to live to doing what he had to do than it takes for all of us who are healthy here. But he did it. And then as he did it day by day, he was able to get that title, honorable, more honorable. You know, just want to close with one little verse, and then we'll maybe pick it up again next week with the help of the Lord. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. and just leave this with us. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 30. In this section of the Bible, we have Eli, the high priest, and that day in the house of God. And he has his sons. And Eli honored his sons more than God. And his sons turned out to be, the word in Spanish is a fiasco, a fracaso. That's the word. Fiasco is in English and fracaso in Spanish. Okay, anyway, they turned out to be a very, very bad bunch of boys. And he says in verse number 30, the message comes to Eli. And I should say this, in the midst of all that perverseness, in the midst of all that wickedness, Samuel, he's one of the men we're going to look at. He grew and he went on for the Lord. He went on in favor both with the Lord and also with the men. But down in verse 30, he says this, I got to hurry. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me. In other words, Eli, you made your bed, and you're gonna have to sleep in it, as we say. You chose your path. You chose the way you're going to where you were going to go, and it was away from me. And you did it each day. Every day you got further and further and further away from me. Every day it was easier and easier for you to sin. Every day you put your children more in a higher level than you put me. And on he goes. And then he says, but be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Those are powerful words. You have two paths, two roads to go on. One road to be an honorable person, to be a Jabez, to go in that right direction that will honor. It's a daily thing. It's not, again, take away from your mind this idea that someday you just wake up in the morning and you become a great Christian. Never has that ever happened. You become a great Christian by living the way you're supposed to live today, tomorrow, and next week. You become something that is useful for God by just putting your energy, your time, your thoughts, your devotions, your desires, put them in the direction that takes you closer to God. And them that honor me, he has promised, I will honor. And he's never failed. He's never failed. But then the other side, they that despise me. You see, it's either honor him or despise him. There's no gray area here. It's all black or it's all white. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The opposite of honor is to be lightly esteemed. And so I trust we get a little bit of help out of this, Jabez, and I hope that as we go into this study of men or women or people who are honorable, that it will instill within us a desire, you might say, something to stretch ourselves out for, something to work ourselves towards daily, 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 working. And I have to, tomorrow, and you too, we'll all have to make decisions. And we might just put in that decision that we have to make, is this honorable? Is this honorable? And if we could just live like that, I know. God says, they that honor me, I will honor. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the good word of God. We trust that it will help us and strengthen us and put within us and renew within us desires to be more honorable for thee. It is even a marvel that we as ruined, guilty sinners could do anything that would be honorable. And yet, Father, thou hast washed us, thou hast cleansed us, thou hast put within us the Holy Spirit of God, so that our lives might be marked out as useful for thee. Ask that thou bless us now, take us to our homes in safety, preserve us, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.